everyone. This is Bob McDonald, and welcome to another session of Differentiate or Die, the keys to creating powerful B2B tech positioning stories with Bob Wright, founder of Firebrick Consulting. Today's topic, do I need to create a new category? Bob, what role does category play in positioning story success today?
Bob, this challenge is the central challenge for many of our tech clients when they want to come and discuss a positioning strategy with us. Category leadership is often an underpinning for higher valuation. If you look at the category leaders in every significant category, the leaders enjoy a significant valuation multiple over the number two or number three player. The other thing is some categories have high valuations and some categories are littered with players with low valuations. So it really matters what category you play in. Plus, buyers buy from categories. There's a set category of technology that they buy from. So category is a very, very important central issue for a positioning strategy.
So if that's a central thing for every positioning strategy, then the topic comes up in every engagement. And what's kind of then the framework for deciding how to approach the category issue?
It's interesting. What we run into is the conversation is, should we create a new category? Should we morph an existing category? Or I just had one client said, hey, we're stuck in this category and it's just not investable anymore. What should we do? Well, let's talk about the two strategies. One strategy is actually owning and creating your new category. The problem with that is it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. There's no funded initiative for that type of category or that product. So you have to steal budget from some other funded initiative. And a lot of times in a new category, it's because it's a new idea. With new ideas, there's no language for it. So a lot of companies are forced to fall back on geek speak, or language that is meaningless and doesn't mean anything anymore.
Or borrowing language from an adjacent category which isn't precise in describing what they're doing.
That's correct. And so creating a new category is not for the faint of heart, but it can be done. I think the other strategy is how do you morph an existing category? And that's probably the more common strategy that we recommend for most companies. It's not as expensive. It's completely doable. And it's a well-honed positioning strategy in our arsenal, if you will.
Do you have an example of a company morphing their category?
Totally. First off, let's talk about how you do it. To morph an existing category, you got to name the problem. What's the problem you solve? Secondly, you got to set up the buying criteria in your favor to solve that problem. And then what we found that's really helpful is modify the name of the category. There has to be a reason for a shift in a morphing of the existing category. That usually happens to because of the recent market dynamics and the convergence of these market dynamics. There's been a shift in a new problem that's emerged that's requiring this category to morph. Secondly, setting up the buying criteria for that new type of solution to solve the problem and naming the category. So for example, we have a client of ours in the DevOps world. So we created a conversation about concurrent DevOps and contrasted it to traditional DevOps. Again, morphing the DevOps category, very crowded category, and we called something new called concurrent DevOps.
This was like specific customer issues and characteristics about DevOps that you could then direct a new strategy toward.
That is correct. So in that case, we identified a problem called the tool chain. And we said the tool chain DevOps, the transformational promise of DevOps remains elusive because you still have this tool chain problem. And that requires a fundamental shift from traditional DevOps to something new called concurrent DevOps. And we define the buying criteria for concurrent DevOps in my client's favor. I'll give you another example. In the networking area, we had a client of ours in the network intelligence, you know, it's deep packet inspection product. And again, it's a very crowded category. And it's actually a very tired category. The strategy was to morph that category. We build a conversation because networks are completely changed, that there's a requirement now for something new called active network intelligence. And again, a fundamental shift from the old network intelligence to active network intelligence. And again, we define the unique characteristics of active network intelligence, which mirrored the unique IP of our client.
Do you ever have a client where it's just strategically the category issue doesn't matter and you just go ahead and develop the positioning story and leave the category discussion kind of as a tabled item?
This happens very often with early category creators, if you will. A lot of times I advise my companies, I tell you what's really important is for you to get your next 25, 30 customers. So frankly, the category conversation doesn't matter right now. You can't define the category, only a market analyst does. What's really going to create a category is if you get some success. So why don't we forego the category conversation and focus on what's the big hairy problem we own to try to garner a high premium ASP and engage at the executive level and make you the next significant tech company because of the accelerated growth. And then we can, then the category will form off of that.
So it's creating a compelling story for potential customers, but it doesn't necessarily have category as a component of that compelling story at this point in time.
That's correct.
Bob, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk about how to utilize category in successful positioning today. Please join us for additional sessions of Differentiate or Die with Bob Wright, founder of Firebrick Consulting.